G'day guys, Lee Martinuzzi here. Welcome to the Hidden Wire podcast. Just before we get into today's episode, I am just about to launch a new book called Your Virtual Freedom. It's all about the benefits of using virtual assistants to outsource your work to, so you can free up more of your time and get more done. Guys, I am giving away free copies prior to launch. So if you are interested, if it sounds like it's something that you might be interested in, jump onto thehiddenwire.com, go to the resources link, press the book image, and it'll ask you for a code. The code is in uppercase capital letters, free, F-R-E-E. Type in that and you can download your free copy. Guys, enjoy today's show.
What is real cannot be threatened. What is unreal does not exist. Therein lies the peace of God.
This is episode 256 on the Hidden Why podcast with Satyen Raja.
You're listening to The Hidden Why with your host, Lee.
G'day gang, welcome to The Hidden Why podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time out to tune into this interview today. I'm bringing you an interview I carried out with Satyen Raja, and it's really aligned with the theme of the show. It's really about that soul searching, searching deeper and looking within, and really then, once you do that, clearing the gunk, clearing those blockages that is not allowing your true essence to speak out and be expressed, you can start walking a path true to yourself. So we talk about that, and Satyen is certainly an expert in that. The show is all about helping you discover your why, and a part of that is really connecting with who you are and what it means to exist to you, what is important to you. So I hope you enjoy this interview, guys. If you do, share it with your network. You might have some friends or colleagues that might be interested in listening to it. Share it out for me on your Facebook, Twitter accounts, etc. And sign up to the podcast and sign up to thehiddenwire.com so you can keep up to date with everything that's going on. Guys, I appreciate you listening. I really believe that you'll get some good value out of this one. It was a cracker of an interview. I loved it. And certainly reach out to Satyen and thank him for coming on the show if you enjoy it. Thanks, guys, and we'll talk at the end.
This is The Hidden Why, discussing ideas and thoughts on living life with passion and finding your hidden why, your reason, your purpose.
G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Hidden Why podcast. My name's Lee Martinuzzi, the host of the show, and I'm pumped and excited. Today, I've got Satyen Raja on the line with me. How are you, Satyen?
I'm awesome, and you said that really well. Thank you.
Good. I don't do that too often, I'll be honest. mate, yeah, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for taking the time out. I want to just first ask you, for the audience benefits, put some context around who you are. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, my name is Satyen Raja, and I lead really two mentorship circles. One is for helping professionals, where I help them learn very powerful, effective, long-lasting psycho-emotional spiritual methods so that they can bring into their practices, whether it's coaching or medicine or therapy or whatever they, you know, someone wants to, who's really helping others, and they want to make a big boost in their capacity to do that and also create a life of freedom. I help them in that. So that's one thing. Yeah. I call that accelerated evolution. It's a very powerful methodology. And then I have another side where I coach CEOs of powerful companies, and these are CEOs who have an interest in deeper meaning in life. How can they create a life of equilibrium? And they have big visions. So I help them craft that and keep them on it and help them reduce the struggle in their mind and their emotional being so that they can attain these things very quickly. So that's the essence of my current projects.
Okay. Look, great things that you're doing, and certainly there's probably lots of work and practices that are involved in that, and I'm sure we'll share a few in this interview. How did you start that path towards doing this? Like, where did it extend from? Is it something you've just always been passionate about, helping others, teaching? And
well, when I was a youngster, I was quite the geek. I was very interested in personal development and spiritual things, but I was not athletic in any way. And I didn't really dial into the traditional academic, you know, schooling system. But when I saw this TV show called Kung Fu with David Carradine and also Bruce Lee's influence, these, you know, I just was on fire. I was like, I wanted to find a Shaolin temple where I could learn these deeper secrets of life. And I went on a quest as a young fellow, and I found a a school and a master and a philosophy, which I call the path of the warrior sage, which has been, I guess, the backbone of myself since I was a young lad, about 12. And from that martial tradition, which taught me a lot about strengthening my mind, my body, my spirit, being of service, I also learned about the ways of the sage. The sage is the person of wisdom, of love, of benevolence, of embrace. And so this path of the warrior sage has been my, I guess, my guiding light. And through the years, I was very blessed to meet very powerful mentors from many areas, from sacred tantra and sexuality to the creation of money and mastery in a wholesome, awakened, enlightened way, to the mastery of achievement, but taking the path of least resistance. So I've sought out really mentors in all those areas, and I continue to do so because I believe for me to be at my top game, I got to not only be a teacher, which is great, I love passing it on, but I also have to be a lifetime student.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at on the path right now.
Yeah, cool stuff. I think, and that's an important message too, is to be a lifelong student and to remain humble in your success, you know. So that's a really cool message. I mean, for the audience listening and for myself as well, I assume the questions that come up is, like, how did that come about? How did you have this interest in this sort of, you know, the bigger questions of life to put you on that path of the warrior sage? Where does that stem from?
Well, I didn't have the words for it when I was young. I just didn't feel like I fit in.
Right.
And I felt that the world around me, there was something off. I didn't have the language then as a teenager, but the feeling was being lost, not feeling like I'm part of this world. And I'm not the only one. I know many of us have those feelings and those intuitions as well. And I was very, gifted, very lucky, very blessed to have parents who, you know, they were disgruntled at first when I wanted to go down these type of lines rather than become your typical thing that a typical young Indian fellow should be, you know?
Yeah.
After a while, they actually were helpful and encouraged me. And so I had that encouragement a little later in life when I had to fight for that and stand for what I really wanted. But I think it just came from a dissatisfaction at a soul level.
Wow.
with what's going on around me, friendships, the shallowness of what I felt and saw. And I was yearning for a depth that I touched on when I saw these philosophical shows and read philosophical books and started going down that path. They were pointing to some type of inner domain, some type of inner dimension, inner connection with soul, which, you know, sounded elusive and new agey and sort of distant. But I found that I actually ultimately found that, how to attain that, how to get in touch with these inner dimensions. And for me, it's made it so that life has a real anchor, my friend, anchor in something real, something eternal that's going to last way beyond me. So I think that I was very blessed to have that inspiration on the path early on.
Yeah, I agree. I think, I sort of have thought and still do think a lot about the soul and what that all means and how it all connects. And I've been writing and speaking on it too. I'm sure you've got a lot of wisdom around the soul and what it truly means. And certainly to have that connection early on in life, I think, you know, it'll help you direct your life more better going forward. I have recently only made that discovery, and I know a lot of people out there are sort of lost souls as such,
yes,
where they don't have that connection, and they're walking this path where they're just sort of unconsciously existing. That's my feeling on it anyway. But what is our soul? Can you sort of define that for us?
Well, again, these are feelings that we're putting words on. So I'll give you a sense of what it is for me, okay?
Yeah.
The soul is a type of feeling of comfort in my body, in my gut, in my innermost self. It's a feeling of either tension, something is not right. It's not a mental image. It's not a thought. It's more of a gut knowing. And it's also when there's things are in flow and in harmony and there's truth and there's love and there's affinity and the right path opens up, there's a deep relaxation I feel in the center of my soul.
Mm.
So for me, the soul is one of the, with in conjunction with the mind, the soul is the feminine aspect of ourself, is the awareness aspect of our emotional dimension, and our intention dimension is our soul. And really, our soul is the essence of who we really are at our core. When we strip away all the identities that we carry around, I'm a dad to someone, I'm a husband to someone, I'm a business relationship to someone else, I'm a father to someone. We got these labels, but I feel when we, the soul is that which is prior to any labeling that could ever occur. And it's a navigation system. It's our ultimate, innermost, perfected navigation system. The only problem is it's been obscured by other interference, you know? So it's harder to hear.
Yeah. And I think that's you know, again, you know, finding it early on and finding that connection and having the mentors to help you create those connections is just powerful. And the more I think about it, the more we need to start, you know, listening and expressing our soul and our essence to help us live that more contented sort of life. That's certainly how I feel at the moment about it. But I see that a lot of people that are existing out there seem to, you know, have these blockages or gunk that cover their souls, and they don't allow that to be, they don't allow it to be heard, I guess, their soul, their calling.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
What sort of practices, you know, for the audience out there listening, this might be a bit full on for some people, but what sort of practices could they do to help sort of clear those blockages and start to, you know, listen again to what their essence is, and so they can start to follow that and be more mindful about it?
Well, that's a great question. Let me start with a question that I ask myself, which is a warrior sage principle.
Yep.
It's like a self-inquiry that starts to sharpen your own pencils, sharpen your own sword, polish your own glass, you know? And the question is, what must I do today to love, to live, and to die completely without regret? Let me say that again.
Yeah.
And I'll ask everyone, what must you all, myself, you, all of us, what must we do today so that we can love fully, live fully, and die fully without any regret? So Lee, I'm going to ask you that directly, brother. Just take a moment and feel that. And everyone who's listening, like, really let that in for a sec. What must you do today to live, love, and die completely without regret? What must you do this week, this month, in your lifetime? It doesn't matter what that answer is. It's your answer. So I'd like to ask you, Lee, what is that for you?
Yeah, it's a powerful question. And I think it probably needs some time to reflect, but in the moment, in today, like if I ask myself that question now, it is quite early here. For me to love is really to, I've got two beautiful daughters, and it's really to, you know, be there for them and watch them, you know, help them, be there and
yes,
you know, hold them and nurture them. And I suppose that would extend into my life's bigger purpose as well. But also it comes to helping others too. And I feel the love of trying to inspire and assist others to live a life more fully and remove the pain or suffering that comes from their existence that's not true to themselves. So a part of that is what, you know, would inspire me and drives me today. For me, yes, to live fully is to really just have that freedom of space. And that means to just, you know, have that time alone, have that time in thought, have that time in planning, just to allow me to have that time. I think a lot of people don't have that, and I'm privileged that I've sort of created a life that gives me more of that. So it's just doing, yes, those things. And if I do those things, those couple of things, I really believe I will die fully. So without any regret.
Oh. So, you know, when you make one step towards that, which you're doing every single day already, Lee, then you validate and honor your soul's deepest calling, is what this question is. What is your soul's deepest calling, really? And when you validate and honor it, its voice becomes deeper, more resonant, more clear. We trust it more because it gives us only valid feedback. And then the soul connected with our mind, so a comfort of our soul combined with the comfort of our mind, if we move in that direction, So if, you know, if there's a decision I need to make, a business decision or a parenting decision or whatever my decision is, right? But, and my mind feels, oh, you know, this is a good idea, but my soul feels off, I don't make it.
Yeah.
If my soul feels on, oh, that feels right, but my mind feels, you know what, I don't know, I haven't figured this out yet, I still don't go.
Yeah.
It's when my soul and mind come into unity.
Yeah.
That the voice of the whole mechanism of navigation of the warrior sage kicks in big time. And so this is the first way, the initial step to ask yourself, what must I do today to love, to live and die completely without regret?
Hmm.
And whatever answer comes up from within, it's that action, the concerted action without excuses, without delay, without procrastination. It's that action which then says, boom. Then the world actually comes to your doorstep when you act like that.
Yeah. Okay. Good question. I love it. It's powerful, and certainly if you can reflect on it and generate those ideas, I think it brings about, you know, really what's important to you.
Yes.
Now, Satyen, I know you work with thousands of people and teach this stuff, and I'm sure you've get a lot of challenges when you sort of ask that question. I'd like to ask sort of, what challenges do you face when you ask that question? What are the obstacles, I guess, that people face more so that you have to help them work through? And well, how can you help them dig into that question a bit deeper? Because a lot of people I could see asking that question and going, I guess they just, because they're so conditioned or domesticated, is that when they ask that question, perhaps their answers aren't really from within. They're just the external of what they think they should be answering it.
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying. Well, you know, one of the obstacles to asking this question is the fear that you'll go deeper than where you've been hanging out in your mind.
An uncomfortable spot.
Exactly. Because to ask this, really, the other fear is what if I'm not living up to what must I do in order to love, live, and die completely? What if I'm not even close to it? What if I'm only 5% there or 1% or 99%, wherever we are, and I'm not fully living it? We sometimes don't ask ourselves this. The obstacle is the fear that we may not ever attain it, and so we don't try enough. Wow. We don't engage ourselves. So we avoid the depth. We avoid going deeper. The other distraction, huge distraction, is the noise that we're constantly surrounded by, sound bites, internet, and I mean, like, yes, it's a time of high-speed information, but that information is coming through the external sensory domains.
Mm.
The awareness of the soul and the mind unity only is found from within the inner domain of being.
Yeah.
And so so the way to overcome that is just take a few days, turn off the, you know, set yourself a limit of, or just even if you can go electronic free for just 2 days, 3 days, then automatically the release and the pulling away of stimulation to the senses, what it does is it'll start to awaken the soul's voice again within you. And that's the navigation center that makes us strong, that keeps us safe, that is healthy and wholesome. Because other people's ideas of what you should be are usually other people's ideas. Here you get to forge your own path.
Hmm.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, and I guess there's probably a couple of tangents we can go off from that, a few points that you've made there. But, you know, the fear of going deep is certainly one that comes to mind. A lot of people would just be shut off for that. And I think there's probably numerous reasons why. But do you think, like, when you ask that sort of those bigger questions, that the answers that will come up, I guess, will maybe put some reality to exactly how you're living life and how congruent or incongruent it might be. And then
yeah.
I guess it will either challenge you to take that path and take a more uncomfortable route, that's seemingly uncomfortable at the beginning anyway, but probably more comfortable in the longer run, in my opinion.
Yes.
What are the barriers? How do we encourage people to dig deep and really, you know, allow them questions to come around? And yeah, they might have some pain with the questions that are raised and how they're living. There might be some regret. How do we inspire them to just keep listening and keep tuning in and start taking the action required to follow it more truly?
Well, you know, the funny thing, my friend, is you can lead a horse to water, but the water has to drink. This perennial wisdom counts true as it did yesterday, as it does today. and it'll count the same as tomorrow. I think all we can do is be gentle with ourselves and aim to have an improvement every day in listening, in dialing in more with these wisdoms that you are sharing, that are being shared all across the world from numerous sources. These very powerful wisdoms that are coming from the old days and resurging today. This wisdom is here for us to enjoy, to reap the deeper benefits that a superficial life can't give us. So first of all, you got to look at, where are you not satisfied? What are you tolerating in your personal life, in your professional life, in your work situation? What are you tolerating? And sometimes we tolerate things so long for survival reasons, you know, money, power, security, all of these things. And when we do that, of course, there's a reason why we have to do that. But that keeps shutting us down. And then we feel more and more trapped, like we've painted ourselves into a corner, you know?
Yeah.
So whoever's in that situation, what I have to say for you, my friends, is ask this question anyway. What must I do to live and love and die completely today? And make an incremental movement towards that, whatever comes up from your gut. Okay, I got to call my mom and I haven't chatted with her in a while. Okay, let me do that. I haven't chatted with my, hey, you know what? Let me set a date time with my daughter and take her out just myself and let her feel special. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Whatever we all got going on, but it doesn't have to be gargantuan and earth-shattering and big. It's the little, it's these small things that get us to awaken. And the more we do, then what happens is uniquely, beautifully, reality responds with more portents, more opportunities, more possibilities for one to awaken even further.
Yeah.
If you walk down that road, it responds with beauty and benevolence.
Mm. And it's powerful how it does that. And I guess a lot of people are skeptical about that sort of idea, but it's, you know, in my experience, it's so true. And I think, you know, you touch on a good point about, you know, asking that question and seeing what comes up. Just be gentle in your approach, you know, be gentle to yourself and be kind. And, you know, again, start small, take the small steps. It's an accumulation of those small things that would build into something great. Like investing a dollar today, you know, over a lifetime, it'll accumulate to millions of dollars. So yeah, a couple of really good points there as far as allowing yourself to really do the search. Satyen, what is the path of the warrior sage? Is that unique to us all?
It's a unique, it's individual to each one of us. It's a very unique path because it's really an individual path. It's a path where the first practice, the first cultivations is this. What must I do? So the warrior sage path is, first of all, removing yourself from the energy, attention, grabbing headlines and volatility and emotionality that's in the popular emotion that's continuously getting stirred up. The warrior sage recognizes that we have a certain amount of units of attention, presence, attention we can give something to, presence we can give something to. And if our deepest values are connection with our family, integrity, creating more joy, abundance, having fun, if those are highest values, but our attention is entrapped by headlines and superficial stuff and anger and pain and torture and war and all the attention grabbing, if you want to call it, vampiric energies that are trying to suck your attention and keep you in a flustered, reactive state. That's what they're meant to do. So the warrior sage, the first step is find out where you're sucked up. Where have you been? Where have your panties got grabbed? Where's your pussy been grabbed? Where's your cock been grabbed? Like, what's getting you? What out there is so sucking of your attention that you have to be against it? You have to be for it. And then you gently let those reins go bit by bit. Mm. You recognize, oh my God, this is an energy sucking mechanism. And then as you let those reins go and you give them less and less importance, the power that was attributed, the importance that was attributed to all those things which evoke reactivity comes back to your own personal power. It comes back to the self, and then you get more clear, and that power of choice becomes pristine and clear, rather than entrenched and entangled in the world's problems. You become this sage of wisdom where people start coming towards you And what you say is coming from non-reactivity, and it comes from clarity of being and choice.
Yeah.
So that's the first step. Mm. Pull away from all the shit that's sucking you in, and take about 3 months to do that. Gas prices, environment, politics, relationships, come back to a sacredness. Get strong in that, in your silence. And then when you come back into the world, oh my goodness, the power of your influence. It's not being complacent. It's get out of the ring first, you know? Get out of the noise. Get yourself alkaline.
Get that clearness. Get that awareness.
Get in nature. Get with Mother Nature. Breathe. Take care of your body. Bring balance and love and harmony to your homestead. Mm. Then don't worry about the world. The world's going to burn. If it burns, it burns.
Yeah.
And then when you come out after you found your own sanctorum, as Dr. Strange would call it, your own inner strength and fortitude and peace, then the words you say don't have to be so loud, but they'll be more powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the
really.
Action you make, right, will be, don't have to be so big, just gentle, but create waves.
Yeah.
That's the path of the warrior sage.
I really do like it, and I love your message. I want to encourage the guys to go check you out. You've got a fantastic website online called The Warrior Sage, isn't it?
Yeah, it's warriorsage.com.
Warriorsage.com. So I'll stick the link in the show notes, guys, to check that out. You touch on a few points there with the path of the warrior sage, and perhaps the first thing or the takeout for me was, you know, you've touched on it twice now, but firstly, disconnect, from online, disconnect online and connect in line, you know, connect within yourself. I think that's a powerful step. And also just came up just then when you spoke is disconnect from life for a while, you know, and connect back with nature, create that space. And there's a couple of powerful things that, you know, I think are practices to help really get in touch again with your soul. And it's going back to that message and then allowing that awareness of who you are and your essence to you know, emerge and flow, and then bringing it back in. The other thing I want to touch on there, you say get rid of the stuff that's eating you up, that's sucking your energy now. And the question I have for you is that I know a lot of people are like that, and perhaps if the stats are true, I mean, they say 80 to 85% of the workforce are dissatisfied with with their job. And if that's a big part of their day, which usually it's, you know, a third of your day, how do they responsibly make that decision to leave that vampire-sucking job to walk a more truer path?
That's a great question. You know, I'm going to give you a direct answer. Is you quit the job, you quit it, and you come back and you employ yourself. You become self-employed.
Mm.
Now, that could be done metaphorically inside yourself, because if you have a job and it's good and so forth, but you've been acting as an employee, not acting for yourself, but acting to fulfill other people's dreams and aspirations, then inside when you leave that day at night, just fire. I'm fired. I'm fired myself. I quit. And then take the time over the nighttime. Maybe if you do this on a Friday, take the weekend and say, okay, who am I? What is my value? How much am I worth to others? What gifts do I bring? And then in your own mind, you go in as a private contractor, as not as an employee, but as an equal to your employer in your mindset.
Yeah.
In your work, in your heart, in your soul. And now you do everything as if you're not just getting by. You're doing it because it's a healthy exchange between you and this other organization.
More that purposeful way, to who you are, yeah.
Exactly. And so you do your best with impeccability, with clarity, with precision, and you remove the emotionality out of the work. Any emotionality, you start removing yourself and you become more like sage-like, precision, fulfillment, great customer service. And then that strength of recognizing, I'm working for myself here. I'm self-employed. Even if I'm in this corporation, I'm in this workplace, I'm in this situation, I'm going to hold that inside myself. And it keeps you in a type of dignity, and then it empowers you. And guess what? The effect is that other people see you as a leader.
Yeah.
And people in higher management, higher, let's say positions in the company, they feel that, they see it, and you will stand out from the rest who are energetically just going through the motions.
Yeah. Great, great answer and a good way to look at it. I think it's, you know, rather than going, it's a mindset, isn't it? Rather than going to your job and feeling like you're just being used for someone else's dreams, go to your job and use it for, you know, creating a better you and evolving yourself.
Exactly. If you've done that enough and you feel that strength and you've gotten to that strength enough, then look for what are your passions?
Mm.
What can be of great service to others? What can raise the life force of others? Not short term. Don't look for what can raise the life force, the aliveness of other beings in your community, in your society. What can do that?
Mm.
And as you look for those things of what will raise the aliveness, not just what will make you profit, what will raise the aliveness of others that you can offer, that you love to offer, that you love to create and share. And then start moving to your own full, true self-employment on all levels of being. You know, Timothy Ferris has got a great book on the philosophy of this called The 4-Hour Workweek, which I highly recommend, which is encapsulates this philosophy of finding your own muse, your own dharma, as they say in India,
yeah.
The gift that you have to give that must be given, and then you can create some type of way of serving that, or you can do it without even making any money. It's that you're doing that, you die completely.
Mm. Yeah, I love it. Powerful stuff there, and certainly, you know, a couple of points to just quickly re-tap into is, you know, finding that passion in life and really finding passions, whether it's doing it in your work or outside of work, it just lifts your spirit. It makes your attitude a lot better. It makes how you feel a lot better. And when you start to feel good and your attitude's good, you show up better as well. And I think that's sometimes the key to bringing out the best in those situations, because that's when things start showing up to you as well. And certainly I can relate to that from experience, from a past job. Seixian, I'm conscious of the time. I want to ask you some questions that I ask all guests. And thank you for everything you've shared so far. It's just really enlightening and inspiring. I'm going to start with the big question first. Do we all have a why? The show's called The Hidden Why, and I certainly talk about it a lot. What is your opinion on that?
Yes, 100%. We all have a big why, a deep why. And that why, just even asking what is my biggest why, if you're not there already and you don't know it, just asking it is turning on the engine. So that pursuit, the finding, and as well as the evolution of your biggest why is a lifelong journey that when we embrace it daily, it fuels us.
Yeah. Do you think the question I've been asking, well, I ask this question to all guests and I ask it to myself as well. The why, I mean, I love this quote. It says existence comes before essence. And I was just relating to where does the why come from? And is it something that we're innately born with, or is it something that we evolve into? What is your opinion on that?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think it's something that is inherent in our disposition that we come in with, that somehow, there's a light that gets switched in that's waiting to get turned on as we mature through life. And I also feel that the circumstances that we have around us help mold and forge and clarify that biggest why so that it becomes a wave of intentful action.
Yeah. Yeah, powerful answer. I couldn't agree more. So great perspective. I also have the tagline is it's about, you know, living life with greater passion and purpose. What does that mean to you, living life with greater passion and purpose?
Well, for me, greater passion, I'm with my beloved Suzanne, my wife, for 29 years now, and I've got two amazing young adult family, you know, my daughter and my son, Satori and Shaman. To me, passion is knowing that I'm knowing and creating joy for all of us, for my family, my extended family, and then ultimately society, for me to bring this joy, this a refreshing new look at life, this way of turning obstacles into workable, you know, ways of attaining true freedom. To me, that's passion, following that, living that, inspiring that in others. When I'm doing that, I feel that my top passion, you know?
Mm. Yeah, and you start, you know, taking more purposeful action, I'm sure. You talk about complete freedom too, and I'll just touch on that quick because I really relate to that. What is freedom? What is it to you?
One of my mentors, Kevin Nations, uses this 4 F's philosophy of faith, meaning belief in the self, belief in truth, God, existence, life, goddess, however you wish. Faith in existence working with you, okay?
Yeah.
That's one area of freedom for me, one of the F's. The other one is family, having a wholesome, loving, juicy, sexy life with my wife that's evolutionary and taking us deeper. That to me is family and nurturing my children and my family and celebrations. That to me is a powerful piece. So faith, family, finance. For me, having not just abundance in the earning, but peace in the saving and spending and investing. Having a deep sense of peace, profound flow and trust, and creating really a lifestyle that where your finances are serving the life experiences you wish to have in the world. What do I really want to have in the world? What do I want to experience? Where do I want to travel? What do I want to experience and see? To me, that's the purpose of money.
Yeah.
So finance is becoming at peace with money, the journey of that. So faith, family, finance, and then fitness, which to me is being of solid body, health, taking care of yourself. Your body becomes the temple of your soul and your mission. And so you start treating yourself well. You love yourself. You forgive yourself of the shit of the past. If you've been doing bullshit and eating crap for the last 20 years and you're going to start today right now, then you love yourself and you forgive yourself and you start loving your body now. So faith, family, finance, fitness. And then there's fun, which is, you know, bringing this happiness to the world, not expecting the world to bring you happiness.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I could probably talk about that for a little bit too, but thanks for sharing. What is your meaning of success?
Oh, for me, I'm really blessed to be in the heart of it. So for me, what it feels like is more than a meaning. It's a feeling that I've rested and I found my pocket in life. Yeah. I'm in the right pocket. I'm in the pocket of flow. I'm in the pocket of truth. I'm in the pocket of abundance. I'm in the pocket of contribution. To me, success is when I'm in a place of deep equilibrium and the realities just show up as I intend them to be. That to me is true success at a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual level of being.
Yeah, nice answer. A place of deep equilibrium. I like that. What advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
Yeah. Oh, man. Be less critical and gentler with people. Serve them with more honey than with vinegar.
Nice answer. Have you got a productivity piece of advice? So something that you believe makes you more effective?
I do actually have a method that is on my website. If you go to warriorsage.com and go to the bottom, there's one of the links is for one of my academies called Accelerated Evolution Academy. If you follow that, there'll be a free download of this particular method that is available that you can learn today and you can apply on yourself, and it removes the mental struggle. It's like a instant struggle release. If you've got a tension, you've got a fear around something, an action that you want to take, but you feel like you're procrastinating or something's holding you back, take yourself through this process. It's a very simple thing. And it'll help you come to a place of clarity so you can take a straight – you can make actions without being hung up. So that's the – it's a very powerful method. So download that at warriorsage.com. Go to Accelerated Evolution Academy and you'll see it on there, okay?
Okay, cool. I'll put the link in the show notes, guys. So that's Accelerated Evolutionary.
Accelerated Evolution Academy.
Acceleration Evolution Accelerated Academy.
Accelerated.
Yep.
Evolution Academy.
Academy. Good. I'll stick it in the show notes, guys.
Oh, you know what? Hey, I got an easier one for you. We just got aemethod.com. That's easy. A as in the apple, E as in elephant, method, aemethod.com.
Ah, there you go. You remember that one. Cool, mate. No, thank you. And I'll stick that in the show notes as well, just in case you're out and about, guys, or forget. You can check that out at thehiddenwhy.com. Seishin, a couple of quick questions for you now. What's your favorite food?
Pizza.
Everyone says
gourmet high-end pizza.
It's amazing. I think that's the most popular food.
Really?
From all the guests. What's your favorite leisure activity?
Well, I love Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I know it's not considered leisure, but in a way for me, it's a discipline. And then at the end of it, just sitting in nature, like, you know, maybe go in the hot tub or sit in nature. So that combination to me is the ultimate, you know, leisure.
Yeah, no, I like it. Do you have a favorite book of all time that you'd like to recommend, or maybe a couple that you're reading now?
Oh, okay. Let me give you two books that I think are kick-ass to start off with that are my favorites of all time.
Yep.
One is called Blue Truth by one of my mentors, David Deida, spelled D-E-I-D-A. And the name of the book, again, is called Blue Truth.
Yep. Okay.
And the other one from one of my other mentors, Stuart Wilde. The author is Stuart Wilde, W-I-L-D-E. The book is called Infinite Self. Infinite Self. Those two would be my pearl recommendations for you, all of you.
Cool. I haven't read them, so I'll be checking them out myself. Guys, if you're interested, just jump into thehiddenwhy.com. I'll stick the links in there. If you want to support the show, there'll be links to Amazon as well and audible.com, so you can get a free downloadable book if they're in audible form. Let's wrap it up, Seishin, with a quote. What is your all-time favorite quote?
There's this beautiful quote that's coming to me in this moment. I love quotes, but this one is coming to me in this moment. It's from a book called A Course in Miracles, a beautiful spiritual teaching. And it says, what is real cannot be threatened. What is unreal does not exist. Therein lies the peace of God.
Nice. Nice way to finish it. Nice thing to, a nice thought to reflect on, or a quote to reflect on. That's why I love quotes. So take that, guys, and reflect on that. Reflect on everything we've talked about. Seishin, how can people thank you and get in touch with you? I guess going to your website would be the best step.
Yeah, go to warriorsage.com. Yep. You can become part of our community there by filling up the info there. And we have a private Facebook group and cool online events and live events. So if any of that jazzes you, just go to warriorsage.com and you'll be part of our community.
Yeah, cool, mate. I think if they're listening to this show, a lot of what Seishin's talked about today will jazz them. And certainly check it out, guys. He's doing some great work and got some great ideas and perspectives, and certainly asking those bigger questions and how to lead a more truthful life to yourself is something that's powerful. So, Seishin, thank you, mate. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, Lee, it's been a pleasure. I really appreciate your direct answers, your clarity, and I can feel that you're actually living the life. So, you know, blessings to you, and keep up with this good work, you know.
Thanks, mate. No, I appreciate it. Let's stay connected. Maybe we'll have to have a round two, because I know there's many of thoughts and questions that I want to ask you, but conscious of the time today, we might do it at some other stage.
I was thinking what would be sizzling, it would be something on sacred sex that we can dive into, you know?
Okay. Spicy. No, I need to learn a bit more about that. So let's do it, mate. Thank you again, guys. Thanks. And make sure you reach out to Station, check him out, and jump into thehiddenwire.com. All the show notes, key takeouts from my perspective will be on there as well. And until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. Speak soon.
Thanks for listening to the Hidden Why podcast, where it's all about living life with passion. For all the latest news and updates, please subscribe online to thehiddenwhy.com.
There you go, guys. What did you think of that interview? I really enjoyed my chat with Satian. Let me know what you think. Jump onto thehiddenwhy.com and leave me your thoughts and comments in the comment fields there. And guys, as always, if you want to reach me, you can reach me at thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. And any questions that you might have, suggestions, improvements for the show, etc., yeah, feel free to email me anytime. Guys, while you're there at thehiddenwhy.com, take me up on my coaching call. It's a free call valued at $250, really just to give you some insight as to what sort of work or what sort of direction you might be taking that would align yourself more true with your path, with your essence, with your soul, as we discussed in this interview. So take me up on that opportunity if you are looking to make some changes. If you're not, just keep enjoying it, keep sharing it, sign up to the podcast. And guys, until next time, you know what to do. You need to breathe more passion into every single moment. Find more purpose in everything you do, and in doing so, you'll discover your hidden why. This is Leon Lutzi, this is The Hidden Why, signing out.
Thanks for listening to The Hidden Why podcast, where it's all about living life with passion. For all the latest news and updates, please subscribe online, thehiddenwhy.com. This is The Hidden Why.
Are you ready to discover your hidden why? To discover your life's purpose? Then jump onto thehiddenwhy.com and download my free discovery questionnaire. It's designed to help you connect with what's truly important in your life, and in doing so, create more freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. This is the discovery questionnaire. You can download it at thehiddenwhy.com under the resources tab. Discover your hidden why.